Welcome back. In what I would call a quasi-pun, one of the best little title tweaks I've seen in a long time. In Japan, as you know, at the destroyed Fukushima plant where three of the four reactors blew up, and they can't do anything about decommissioning the plant. They're talking about it, but it's a load of crap. And they've built up thousands and thousands of tanks with millions and millions of gallons of, I call it death water. I'm not going to call it anything else. It's death water is what it is. So the prime minister went out to Fukushima today from Tokyo, I guess. He went on up there and went out to lunch. And he had some of the delicious Fukushima seafood to prove to everyone that it's perfectly safe. Never mind the death water being pumped in offshore from these destroyed plants and all the fish inhaling it, so to speak, eating it when they eat their food. Never mind any of that. And the title of the article started out, Fish and Chips. But it wasn't fish and chips. You got to get the joke here. It was F-I-S-S-I-O-N, as in nuclear fission. Fission chips. I thought that was very creative. I like clever little things like that. At any rate, my partner and friend and colleague since this whole thing began to happen 12 plus years ago is back with us tonight, Yoichi Shimatsu, to talk about the dumping of the death water into the Pacific, which I want to also just, I don't want to steal his punchlines, but they've always been dumping this. They've always dumped it. They just wanted to get to a formal platform that they could say, well, we've decided that it's okay and we're going to begin to do it. Yosh, welcome back.
Well, I'll take my order with malt vinegar. You can keep this ketchup, though. Delicious, yeah? God. Since when do Japanese eat fish and chips? That's an English thing. We think it's bad taste. We like
it's
sushi.
Funny.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, and I will. I'll guarantee you that was all fake. You know what they say? Fish from Fukushima, but what in the Japanese mentality? Okay, it's from the fishermen of Fukushima, who are fairly far north in Japan, and they go up to the Bering Strait area between Russia and the USA, right, where the water is coming out of the polar region, right? And that's where they're catching these fish that are going to be fried up for the prime minister. The fishermen themselves won't eat the fish around Fukushima, so why would they serve it up to anybody else, okay?
Is that that's a true story.
Interesting. And I think back, Fukushima was, about 13 plus years ago. And even back then, I think around year 11, 12, I visited a fishing port right near there. I sent you, photos and all that. All these old geezers were on the docks. All the boats were, tied down. They couldn't go out to sea because of radioactivity. And they'd be fishing, but only for sport. They wouldn't eat them. You know, they just throw the fish back in so you can't eat this stuff. You know, there's a province-wide ban on eating this stuff. So the fishermen aren't eating the fish. So why would the prime minister eat the stuff? You know, so what they're doing is they're bringing the stuff from abroad. And I won't be really surprised if they're reselling. You know, they're buying loads of fish off of Russian trawlers. You know, there's a lot of trade that goes on in the ocean. That's not, as we know, down in Colombia way, Mexico, off San Diego, there's a lot of ship-to-ship trade that goes on that no one really talks about, right, to penetrate different markets.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
it's sort of like the same thing, you know, maybe some illegal Russian fish are being bought by Fukushima fishermen to be brought down the market and saying, oh, we poor Fukushima fishermen, to try to scam, the wholesale market guys to give a little more cash. So, it's a big fish story, basically, you know. So,
yes, there you go.
So this was a huge joke, and the prime minister had to do this because of the bans placed on imports of seafood and other food from Japan to South Korea, and to China. They've imposed trade blockade against any product that could be conceived of as coming from that area. And believe me, those countries have done the radioactivity test. They're not doing this on any prejudice or anything. Yeah. So
here's the RT.
And I'll tell you, the Chinese and the Koreans, they love Japanese food. They love sushi. It's probably more consumed in China than in Japan. So it's not like they're doing it out of any, sense of disgust. Right? This is out of real fear that, they can't let this stuff in. There's enough radioactivity in it to really harm people's health. And a lot of those people are in the major cities. The wealthier people, the more successful business people, government types, film actors, TV hosts, and all. They're the people who go to these sushi bars in Shanghai and Beijing area. And they're very, very good, those bars. So I've been to them. And excellent stuff. And the secret is a lot of it comes out of North Korea or Russia. So they got great fish up there. And it was safe to eat. I would sometimes, when I was in China, eat all the fish I could because it was safe because it was coming from way up north rather than stuff in our backyard.
What is the difference between sushi and sashimi?
Sushi is served on as a category on a little ball of rice that's been soaked in a little vinegar. So it's the raw fish is pressed with two fingers on top of that little ball of rice and served to you on this flat sort of basket platter.
And it's raw.
Well, sashimi is just raw fish that you will pick up with your chopsticks and dip in your wasabi, that very hot.
Yeah, the sauce.
Hot stuff, green stuff and soy sauce, and to your own taste and eat up. Both were just really excellent. One of the delightful things in Japan, very clean. And one of the great cultural setbacks for foodies who would go to Tokyo. I think I've told you that before. I think some people in the Australian nuclear industry, there were consultants. And they'd fly to Tokyo every 6 months and spend a week, a husband and wife, and they gorge themselves on sushi because the price had collapsed because the Japanese were afraid of eating it. Before you couldn't get a seat in these places. You had to wait 2 hours to just sit down at a tiny little bar. We just ate and ate and ate. And I was sitting on a bus with them while I was going through New Zealand. And I said, would you be interested in a dosimeter test of your thyroid? I can just put this up to your neck. It'll only take you about 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. And we'll see. And because they were telling me how they were preparing to have a baby. They wanted to, have a baby. And so I put it up there. And I mean, on a bus full, a tourist bus full of all kinds of people around the world, they can hear me, so in the back talking. And then the buzzer goes off, beep, 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 on her neck. Okay?
Wow.
I said, your thyroid is in the process of being destroyed. And if you have a baby, I tell you, it's going to look something like an alligator, okay, when it comes out. And it'll come out early because, it'll be pulled out of there. And they were stunned. They were just, just jaw-dropped stunned. Mm-hmm. I said, you shouldn't have eaten all that seafood, man, because you're dumping all the stuff off this northern current, and they're dumping all the fish in the market. And sushi is there if it's from the north, colder waters. And you've doomed yourself, And I would advise you just are going to have to wait about 2 years and never eat this stuff again and go on a much stricter diet from now on if you ever want to have kids,
The most common radionuclides that they're going to pick up are what? Cesium, the cesium twins, 135, 137?
The cesiums are really deadly. But there's everything else in the book, too, I forget how many radionucleotides I was dealing with back in Fukushima. It's been a while for me to brush up on them. But it's just common things like copper that's been nuclearized, iodine that's been nuclearized. So it's basically all radioactive. Every form of metal, that's in food, that's in seafood, that's in plankton that might be used for fertilizer, in seaweeds, all that stuff, and by the shore too, chickens and ducks or whatever living by the shore. All the stuff in their body, all those heavy metals, have become radioactive. Yeah, they're radioactive isotopes of those compounds. So there's nothing safe. Nothing.
Safe.
Abstinence is the only way forward.
And this extends from the east coast of Japan, Fukushima, all the way across the Pacific. Understand that. Because right off Fukushima...
The problem is that current, the parent is called the parent current, the Oyashio current, crosses outside, just a little bit north of Tokyo Bay. It crosses across the Pacific, heads straight toward the Puget Sound,
right in
Washington
Seattle
State,
area.
And
that's right. And it's
down the California coast and up the, it splits and up the Canadian coast into Alaska. So nothing is really safe from North America. That's what your prime fishing grounds in North America are contaminated, and these radionucleotides are getting in the when it doesn't kill algae, when it doesn't kill like brine shrimp, when it doesn't kill the stuff, mollusks, the stuff that fish eat, and it's killing a lot of them. That's why the harvest has been really collapsing. We're on the last legs of American salmon, I think. There's hardly any American salmon left. It's all Russian salmon now, It's from the Bering Strait side,
The salmon was coming up.
Because the current, the Bering, that current comes down, the Limon current comes down, and it sort of pushes the North, that North Pacific, the Alaska current pushes it downward. So the Russian Siberia is not affected. So that's the only part. When I go to Japan, I'll go to Hokkaido, northern Hokkaido, in sight of Russian territory, and I will have the crab and seafood there because it's safe. And a lot of that is imported from, secretly imported from Russia. So, it's
to make no mistake, the Japanese know all this. They test those fish. They know exactly how radioactive they are. Same thing with American fishermen. The big fisheries up in Alaska and so forth, along BC. They test. They know. They when the fish show up with tumors and lesions on their skin. Come on, it's obvious. Here's the story
thing,
from.
I think by now you're like your fast food industry that sells, fish and chips and things like that. They're pretty aware of where they're buying from, and they're really cautious now because otherwise they don't want to get sued because if it turns out that Long John Silver's or something, every customer is coming down with throat cancer, various kinds of cancers, they'll be shut down. They know that. So they'll go, make the effort to buy, let's say, shrimp from Vietnam or Thailand.
Don't get tricked by people who say, well, these fish come from factory farmed fish installations and they're perfectly safe. Oh, my. When they dig a hole in the ground and raise fish in it, and that goes on all over the place, that is rated the dirtiest fish in the world.
Oh, yeah.
It is the dirtiest fish in the world. That's that's a rating. Yeah. That's true.
A lot of bacteria, a lot of mercury in there, too. And
they throw all kinds of crap in there to feed those fish. Just all kinds of
crap. It's like medicinal. Mercury is to kill. There's a lot of bacteria because of the concentration, of the fish. And their waste fecal material, and there's mercury in the kind of medicine, antibiotics they give them. So very bad for you in other ways. They may be low on radioactivity. But then again, some of the feed, they have to feed the pulverized fish, and you know radioactivity is going. So not just from Fukushima, but I think we really got to look more worldwide. We've been so narrowly focused there on places like France, Mediterranean. The fish crop has dropped, but there's like so much pollution. Canada, St. Lawrence Seaway, the North Atlantic, where all the major fishing grounds are getting a lot of radioactivity, which is not only affecting, your diet, but also, you hear all these liberal professors, talk about climate change and all that. That's mainly nuclear power, the dumping of nucleated water with cesium and other elements in it, and it's also very hot coming out of nuclear reactors into the oceans. That's causing like this so-called climate, effects of this summer. I'm right in the middle of it, and often traveling to Palo Verde, the big nuclear plant in Arizona. And Arizona, you know, as you know, Phoenix was the hottest place in the U.S., right? Successive days of 120 degree heat. That's because of this urban heat island. Palo Verde, I've sent you pictures with my article before, because of the prevailing winds, you know, the jet stream coming off Fukushima, it's coming across the Pacific and has been dropped down to the south unusually long this year. It's like this hot air bubble in the north out of Fukushima has kept the jet stream far south. This is what accounts for all the storms across the United States from California now all the way to Florida, okay, Texas, Florida.
Right.
That's caused by all this nuclear heat. And in Arizona, you can see the steam coming out of the plant, and it's only as crows fly about 25 miles from Phoenix. And that stuff is circulating around Phoenix like a carousel, like a merry-go-round, counterclockwise, as
vortex.
The jet stream's coming down across California, across Phoenix. And so, yeah, the place is basically being microwaved. You know, the whole area is one of the biggest cities in America now, being microwaved. And I've written a draft story about that, but I haven't put it out again because we've had so many other urgent, the Hawaii story, and now this business with the storms in Florida and all that. That I'll try to get back to this Phoenix story. It's very logical what's happening. If there is climate change, it has nothing to do with global warming theory. It has to do with massive amounts of free-ranging radioactivity riding on the jet stream, getting into the water supply, you know, and getting and spreading all over, not only in Fukushima, but also a similar effect in France. And as you know, there's been a droughts across Europe, you know, setting Greece afire, but also in that part of Africa that's very disturbed now, you know, Mali and Niger Republic, that's where there's a massive uranium mine. One of the reasons they overthrew Muammar Gaddafi, the dictator of Libya, was so that the West, especially the French, you know, the French nuclear industry is controlled by the Rothschild family. They basically control the money that pays for the technology and technological development. And they were involved in smuggling radioactivity. I mean, the nuclear bomb materials out of the U.S., out of the Manhattan Project, to Israel. Mm-hmm. And they were able to get a lot for their own French industry, that technology, and enriched uranium, too. Yeah.
I forget how many tons that the Jewish state was able to pilfer and buy and take out of the U.S. It was a lot. That's how Dimona was all stocked, and that was their whole weapons program. JFK knew. That in my view, is without question the number one reason, there were several, that he was murdered by the Mossad and the CIA working together.
No question. Yeah, the Jewish names that are involved in that day in Dallas were staggering, including that, what was the main hitman who killed Oswald? Jack Ruby.
Jack Ruby, Rubenstein.
No, Jack Ruby. Yeah, his real name is Jacob Rubenstein. You know, that didn't get in the press.
No, they've been covering
up. He's the one that killed Lee Harvey Oswald. Deeply involved. Meyer Lansky, and also the Italian mob. Spiro Agnew was one of part of the Italian mob. He's Greek, part of the Italian mob in Baltimore, where the Jewish mob and the Italian mob will hold their annual summits, you know, to work out the prices.
The people are so malinformed. They just don't know. And they have no idea what's
going
on.
Well, we do have the 80th
anniversary. If you're a competent...
We have the 80th anniversary of the Kennedy assassination coming up. So this stuff will no doubt churn up to the surface. For a last hurrah.
It's about time. I think a lot of people in the press now, the good members of the media, are not afraid to use the word Jewish when it comes to the JFK analysis. It's right there. It's right there.
Yeah.
Look at Ben-Gurion. Yeah, yeah. Look at the letters between the two of them. I want to go back just a little bit to this Japan PM guy. This guy's a character. His name is Fumio Kishida. All right, and he went there, and here's the RT story. Japan Prime Minister Fumio Kishida has attempted to demonstrate the safety of treated radioactive wastewater released from the Fukushima nuclear power plant by eating a selection of food from that area, so they say. But they keep calling this treated radioactive wastewater. There's no way to get the radioactive. No! No, it's death water, period. End of story. It's not treated to where you can just drink it up. It's still poisonous as hell. Radioactive.
Yeah, the French admit Areva, the French nuclear company, provided its ALPS system, which was supposedly a filtration system.
It didn't work.
Radionucleotides. It failed once. It failed twice, and finally they shut it down. So
it gave
actually
up.
There's a lot more in that water than they're claiming. You know,
yeah. It's funny. Yeah. Kishida told reporters as he's eating, and he's eating sashimi. He's got his little bowl of what is the brown liquid again? The seasoning?
Shoyu, soy sauce. Yeah, it's a type
it's
of soy sauce.
I guess
just
whatever. It's right. Soy based.
It's a little bit thinner than regular soy sauce. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And he said, "This is very good, safe and delicious." What does that sound like? Does it sound just a little bit like safe and effective? Just a little.
Yeah.
It's the game. It's the game.
Yeah.
It's all a game.
Jokes on the Trinity Project. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Jokes on us. Hold on just a minute. Let me take this break, Yoshi. Hold on. We'll come right back. And I do want to cover for everyone who asks, well, what fish can we eat? What's safe to eat? And we'll have some answers for you in just a couple minutes. Hold on. Okay, welcome back. Talking with Yoshi about this situation, this publicity stunt by Japan Prime Minister Fumio Kishida, who was chowing down, saying, safe and delicious. Did he have a glass of the treated radioactive water? Nope. They don't even use that for domestic use there. The Beijing did not like this stunt at all. They responded to the step of the luncheon by issuing a blanket ban on all Japanese seafood products, all of them, arguing that Tokyo had failed to prove the discharged water was safe. Chinese officials called the move extremely selfish and irresponsible and suggested Japan ought to use the water for all of its domestic customers in cities and towns if it was so sure it was safe. Of course, it's not, and they won't. So this is really awful. All right, so you want to eat seafood. You're an American, you're whatever you are, Canadian, I don't care, you're Northern Hemisphere, and you want to eat seafood. My counsel has been, if it comes from the Pacific, don't eat it, unless you know for damn sure it's from the Bering Sea up there, way high up. Now, how are you going to find that out for sure? Who do you trust? So what do you tell people who want to eat fish? Or even what's worse, the bottom feeders like crab and lobster. Go ahead. You there, Yosh?
There is fish from the South Pacific and South Atlantic, like from Chile. But I would recommend New Zealand, Southern Australia. They all face the Antarctic Sea. Now, one big problem there is that the former Prime Minister of New Zealand, John Key, cut a secret. He was a businessman. He was a big banker prior to that, so he's a money man. And he's Barack Obama's financial advisor. They're best friends, golf partners, and they both live on Maui, okay? So that's already another dark sign for that accursed island. But when I was in New Zealand, I found out from a group of scientists who are very low-key that identified, and this group had identified, they said incredibly fast within, you know, hours, not even days, Hawaii was hit by massive radioactivity from the Fukushima blast. And
hours.
They found mutant,
I remember.
Yeah, insects, mutant birds there. And they were raised alarm, but they were forced to hush it up because of a big censorship crackdown. And I found out that John Key had made a lot of money to move to Maui, and he is Obama's financial advisor, okay?
Uh-huh.
And that had to do with Afghanistan. And after the invasion, when a lot of Afghan heroin was being exported from Afghanistan into the USA, South America, Europe, and all that, they made their money. But he had made and scored a huge deal by allowing secretly the Japanese whaling fleet, which is banned in the Antarctic region by the governments of Australia and New Zealand. They're not allowed to come in to that region. He allowed them to refuel in New Zealand secretly at a military base, continue to the South Atlantic, where they dumped a lot of the Fukushima radioactivity. So that puts a dent in the whole South Atlantic, which would otherwise be fairly clean seafood supply.
It's compromised.
So you would have to check it out with your dosimeter before you dine on, buy any and dine on it. You know? In Japan, people are really offended. I go to the fish market with my dosimeter and actually measure fish there. I would tell them, they said, this is not good, you do this. You know? And I said, I know it's not good, but it's not good to eat it either. Yeah.
So you were you went when you were last in Japan. You went through the fish market and
oh yeah,
I've
done that many times. Yeah. I was unashamed. Uh-huh. I just checked vegetables, fish, and I didn't care who got freaked out. I said, first of all, I'm not going to buy anything like that. And if I do find something that's hot, I will recommend to you not to buy it either. So I think I'm doing you a favor. I might freak you out, but I might save your life.
Absolutely.
That's funny. So this is the problem, is we don't have any kind of certification board in the United States to do this. It's a huge ag department cover-up, of radioactivity in our food supply.
Every bit of that fish should be scanned with a dosimeter, everyone. And the Japanese ought to do it. Did some of the fish come back like really red hot and others less so? Was there a variation in what you were able to come up with?
Well, the problem you got here is water content. They fluff these fish up with water, and wherever they source that water can dilute, what you're getting, okay? So, of course, they're going to cut out the more, like, the livers and those sort of organs, but it's really hard to tell because it is a bioaccumulation inside your body. And so, and if you're going to eat fish, I agree with your ad there. You should be eating algae, because algae bonds, algae bonds to radioactive particles.
Well, that biosuperfood, bloodstream. That product
was years in
development. Yes.
Because decent algae is also very hard to get now, because it used to be part of the Japanese diet, but I don't trust that either in Japan. So your bio-superfood, if you do like fish and all that, or if you feel you got thyroid problems, I would go with algae. Algae in British English, algae in American English, in your diet, and especially like a soup. If you put it in a soup and you drink it, I think it really will help remove these particles. And I'm not getting a penny from that or anything like that. It's just that
thank you for saying
that.
It's
very difficult to find good algae.
It's truth. You know where this algae is grown, all of you? If you look on a map and see where the Kamchatka Peninsula is, eastern Russia, and it's north of Japan, obviously.
Yeah.
This algae is grown underground in perfectly controlled, absolutely sterile conditions. It's then shipped to Canada, where it's encapsulated and made available. It comes from the finest source you can possibly get, bio-superfood. And if you listen to the new commercials I just did, they're all 100% truthful. There's no hype or any of that. I've known Roland for a long time, the seller of it, and this stuff is as good as it gets. It has saved probably hundreds of thousands of lives in the area of Chernobyl. This is what it was developed to do, to help chelate out the radioactivity and the heavy metals. And it worked beautifully. And it also just happens to have over 15,000 different nutrients in each capsule. It has nutrients in there your body will never see if you eat the Great American Diet. Never. You won't see it.
Yeah, and Kamchatka is in that pocket of nuclear safety, ironically, very close to Fukushima, but north of it, all the currents and the Siberian, the jet stream and the Siberian flow pushes away from Russia toward the Pacific and toward the United States and Canada. But it is in that incredible pocket of safety there, which, God, I would love to visit that place because I think it's a remarkable. It's just something remarkable that something like that actually exists, and given the power of the blast at Fukushima and all the other junk that's going in the air.
If you go over there again, I can get you in. I'll get you in if you go over there.
Yeah, because I think it's fascinating that you do have these, in the nuclear world, you do have these anomalies, these islands of safety, you know, on the beach, so to speak, you know, the last holdouts against the nuclear extermination. So LG, I would recommend, especially with people with that thyroid problem, you know, that's where and you should be checking your thyroid, have the doctor check it to see, because that's where everything will first appear, then in your sex organs and all that. You don't want it there because you'll get cancer down below, and you don't want that, and you don't want to have kids then. But it hurts also to have parts removed down there. So you've got to understand this stuff is really serious. We're, 13 years on in contamination. Thousands have died and have been buried without certification of what they died from.
Thousands.
Forest fires have broken out all over. You know, we've got these tremendous cyclonic effects from these nuclear particles this year, destroying the United States.
Let's also mention, now we're talking wildfires, the simple fact that for the last almost 13 years, radioactive rains have come from the Pacific, released by the Fukushima radiation, and the rains come across and they drench North America, they drench all over the northern U.S., and the trees take it up, goes into the ground, into the water, in the groundwater, and the trees' roots take it up, and so when you burn all of this, you are re-releasing radiation into the air, in the smoke.
Yeah, those radioactive particles cause the fires. Let's say in summer when it starts to dry out, there's not as much water running through them.
There you go.
Those will spark up and cause these massive You look at these 200-plus fires in Canada. Incredible, right? And we had similar outbursts in the past up and down California, down to Mexico. And now they're breaking out, you know, they've broken out in western and eastern Canada and along the border there. So, these are time bombs, and more bad news is coming, obviously, you know. So we're still in the thick of this, you know. We're going on year 13. We're in the thick of this. We got this time. Oh, yeah, this prime minister also. You know, I think he's mentally disturbed, is that the right word? Troubled? Because, he's the Kishida family is actually their, the mainstream, his own family. He was born in Tokyo because his father was down there working in Tokyo. He was sent, he was a younger son and was sent down to Tokyo. But all of his mainstream family were killed at Hiroshima by the nuclear bomb, or died soon thereafter illness. Yeah. So he's carrying this, personal weight on his head. Mm-hmm. And this is why he acts so weird. You know, he acts so strangely. Look at the expression on his face.
Well, he has a pretty goofy look on his face in the picture here I'm looking at.
This odd expression he has, this emotional detachment. It all is rooted toward his family being victims of the A-bomb. Nuclear energy being a family enemy of his, and one but which has overwhelmed him, and he doesn't know what to deal with other than to export it back to America. You know, I think it's an act of war, actually. You know, he's, I don't know, subconsciously, or it's not all subconscious, obviously, but consciously also trying to get revenge for what happened at Hiroshima.
How interesting. How interesting.
That's my theory. That he's lost the main core of his family, and he's in a position to get that revenge. Mm-hmm. And even though he's a sort of a mild-mannered man, You know, Japanese, we had a word called giri, G-I-R-I in English, or duty. You know, it's like your ancestral duty, you know, to do this, you know, and getting revenge on the United States for what happened to his family. You know, it's a sickness. I would call it psychological sickness when revenge motivates you like that.
That sounds like Shinzo Abe 2.0.
Exactly. Well, that's why he's a prime minister, because Abe had full confidence in the man.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, Kishi, that name actually has certain Korean origin. A lot of Japanese are partly Korean. You know, they were Korean family. So Kishi, Abe's grandfather's name is Kishi. He belongs to the Kishi clan. And then we have this Kishida. So they're very similar in name, maybe partially Korean, have a grudge attitude toward Japan, but proud of Japan. You know, we're both promoting Abe's grandfather built the Japanese bomb in North Korea, okay? He was working on that bomb project. And they apparently actually blew up a bomb that the Russians were able to seize. That's why Russia entered the war for only 7 days, is to seize the Japanese nuclear research project there.
Huh.
And the Roosevelt administration could never really pin things down. It's a really interesting story. So we have this sort of psychological mix of, it's sort of like Dr. Strangelove, you know? I fear the bomb, but I love the bomb, you know? It's something like that with him. And then, so there is a mental, a mental complex there that I would say, you know, is a psychosis. You know, I mean, it's a mental illness that these guys have, that they've been carrying the debt to their dead ancestors, debt to their former country, debt to wartime Japan, all this burden of moral debt on their soldier, and the only way to take it out is to kill Americans. You know.
Well, I think they're probably doing a pretty good job of that.
They've done an excellent job. Better than they ever imagined.
The U-boat, the huge one, the Type XB boat, U-234, which was ordered to surrender in, I think it was May of 45, a month after the cessation of hostilities. That boat was en route from Germany, or I guess Norway, to Japan. And it had on board two high Japanese officials, but it had beyond that thousands and thousands of pounds, tons of Germany's most advanced technology. And I think it was 400 kilograms of uranium oxide on the boat, and it was going to Japan. So you say they did test one bomb. I wouldn't be surprised at all if this was going to give them some help. In the end, we got the uranium, and some people say that that uranium might have been, because one of our bombs, Little Boy and Fat Man were the two bombs, one of them was plutonium, and one of them was uranium.
Right. So there's some talk. Yeah, the one that was Nagasaki was plutonium. Fat Man was plutonium, yes.
Okay. Well, the Hiroshima bomb may have been the German radiation, the uranium.
The Nagasaki bomb would be the plutonium bomb. Yeah. Hiroshima was the American bomb, and then the one on Nagasaki was probably the German technology that was captured and reworked. And that wasn't the only shipment on that U-boat. Yeah. There's a massive amount of effort. In fact, my stepfather was involved in the post-war interdiction of all that German technology. He was based in, my mother remarried and then married him. He was American defense. He was a very high-level Defense Department employee. And his job was to recover all the special German weapons in Japan. So he was always hunting. Now, he also take me along on these drives in the countryside. We're all looking for caverns, underwater, you know, laboratories.
You got to do that?
Oh, yeah. He was attached to Kawasaki Air. And Kawasaki Air was the most, because of German technology, they actually had jet engines. The helicopter, Dornier, the top weapons designer, their airplane designer, he was at Kawasaki. And my stepfather would have to go through this tedious trade with the boss the Japanese military industrial complex. I actually attended one of the lunches because my dad, my stepfather, always used me as Japanese. Oh, this is my Japanese wife's son and all that, and I have to take care of his family and all that. He used that sort of like as cover, and I just sit in, and they would talk about, and the old man who ran Kawasaki, who was the boss of the military industrial complex, said, you know, we have these designs that, we should do I should do an article about this for you sometime. I have a design of helicopters with jet engines and other kinds of jet engines, but I can only give you one at a time. As long as our production quota with Boeing and the other American aircraft industries is increased, we want to build parts for America. And if you give us those contracts, we'll gradually give you the advanced German design. That was right there. You know, we're eating sushi.
Akashi,
Japan. You know?
That's a remarkable little story. I didn't know anything about this.
Oh, that's fascinating. So, and my stepfather, his interesting thing, he said, you know, he called me Clarky. You know, my middle name's Clark. You know, Clarky?
Yeah.
This turbojet, we love it. Carries a lot of weight, very little fuel. You know, turbofan prop, plane. The jet fighter. Good for interceptors. We send them on one side suicide mission to stop enemy bombers, but we see no future in jet engines other than that. And then he said, then we found this stuff at Japanese airports and in bunkers, you know, that hard as hell to fly. They're not good for transporting goods. You can't transport passengers in there without them all vomiting and dying of heart attacks, you know. We can't figure out what they are. So we send them out to the other Edwards Air Base. Where's the other Edwards Air Base? Edwards was for the right stuff. They test all the jet planes, right?
Yeah, no hobby. Yeah.
Then what's the other Edwards? Area 51, yeah?
Oh, right? S4, S2, Area 51, absolutely. Yes.
That's what he called it, the other Edwards, okay? There's Edwards where you get all the good stuff that actually works, you can do something with, right? And all the German equipment, you can't figure out what the hell did they do this for? Why did they invest all this money on these things? He says, we Americans are very practical people. We don't build, you know, fleets of airplanes that have no purpose, you know? So he was very puzzled by the flying saucers, you know, essentially. So,
that's
all part of my youth. Yeah. You know? I was probably 11, 12, 13 years old at the time when all that was going on. And Richard Vogt, V-O-G-H-T, Richard Vogt, he was a top airplane designer at Dornier. He worked at Kawasaki Aircraft Industries in Kobe, Japan. And I thought, Akashi, south of Kobe, where the plant was, and then he designed a nuclear bomber that could go around the world six times without refueling.
Wow. All right, here's another question for you. We only have a minute. I have for years studied World War II history like you have, and many of you listening have spent a lot of time on this. I believe that the Germans had atomic bombs. I believe that Hitler forbade their use. And they were found in some rail cars in Czechoslovakia. They were ready to deploy. Mm-hmm. They weren't mega city busters, but they were nuclear atomic bombs, and they could have stopped the Russians had they used them. That's what I read.
Yeah.
But Hitler was told, if you dare, Germany will no longer exist. We'll nuke it from one end to the other. That's why he didn't do it.
Well, I'm not sure. I think Hitler actually had moral qualms about using weapons of mass destruction.
He did. He learned in World War One that it did no good. That's right.
Yeah, it doesn't do your side much good. And it essentially expands wars where you're killing your own soldiers. You know, and you've got to occupy territory. What are you going to do them? Send them into a radioactive wasteland where you're going to lose your own army? So he had a lot. He's not a stupid guy. He's not a fanatic like appearing in wartime propaganda, Churchill's press. He was an intelligent person,
Yes, indeed. All right. Well, what a great hour. Thanks for sharing that. And we'll keep watching the craziness out of Fukushima. They're dumping this so-called treated water, and it's just death right into the ocean. They've killed most of the Pacific already. They're still at
Well, you know, next year is the 13th anniversary, and that, you know, Friday the 13th, right? Are we in for a surprise?
Oh, yes. Oh, all right. Well, we'll do it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll talk. Okay, Yosh.
Good,
thanks
Jeff.
A lot.
Yeah, continue.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
Yeah, night. Yoichi Shimatsu, and look for his articles on the left-hand side of the homepage. Just look for his name, Yoichi Shimatsu. You'll find they're all extraordinary articles to read and consider. Okay, thanks for being here. Tomorrow night, Thursday, back with you then. Talk soon.